it's good to see Kimberly playing.
Yeah, I mean, just, man, you can't see goodness in that. You got problems. I mean, right. You just got some serious issues. Wow, and you need to go to God to get those issues taken care of. But anyway, we want to thank the church for everything, you know, for the hospitality, for putting us up, for putting up with us. Right. We're a hard bunch to put up with. That's what, I got your hot sauce in the mail. So anyway, but we do thank you guys. Thank you for the basket. My kids have absolutely crushed that thing and continue to do so, but we do appreciate it. You know, we talked about the heart. We talked about, you know, being a wanderer. We talked about being a sinner and what it is, rejecting Jesus Christ. But you know, Jesus Christ is a compassionate Jesus. And that's what I want to hit on a little bit here this afternoon is compassion, because I remember part of me getting saved was recognizing the compassion that Jesus has for me, because really we all sit in the chair as lost people and think that God just absolutely hates us all the time. Okay? And I remember just saying, how can I get saved from somebody who hates me constantly? And we forget that God is love.
Right.
He's judge. He's a righteous judge. He's holy. I mean, he's all those things. Don't get me wrong. He holds us accountable. If you're lost, you're going to die. You're going to have to face that judgment. But if it said that, for God so loved the world. I'm not saying where it said that God hated you so much that he's looking forward to sending you there. You know, hell wasn't created for us. It's created for the, what? For the devils and the angels. Okay? And so he's so loved us. And so let's hit a little bit on compassion in your King James Bible. And you'll see, I'm a man who I love to study my Bible. And I love to study, I do word studies. Word studies teach me a lot because two things it does. Keeps me away from commentary so I don't have to hear what man wants to tell me, because I really could care less about what man has to say to me. Number two, it keeps me away from dictionaries because the King James Bible will define itself. Okay, 2 Timothy says to study to show yourself approved unto God. A lot of people are studying to show themselves approved unto man. Okay, I'm not worried about what man thinks about my study. I'm worried about what God thinks about my study. I want to hear what he says, because in John 14:6, it says the Holy Ghost will teach us in all things. If that's the case, why do I have to open up any other book? That's just how I live my life. It's what I do. It's what I love. It's what I enjoy, because it says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman. W-O-R-K. People don't like work. They don't like studying because it is work. They'd rather just run off your coattails.
Right.
They'd rather just, you know, listen to somebody else do all the studying for them and then think that it's going to help them. Listen, it's not going to help you if you're not studying yourself. The fact of the matter is, you can sit and listen to somebody all day long, and it's not going to touch you like you opening up that Bible yourself and seeing what the Holy Ghost has to tell you.
Amen.
Okay? I love preaching. I love going to hear preaching. I sit preaching all day long. We travel all over to hear preaching. But it wasn't until I got alone with that Bible and God could talk to me at my kitchen table. God could talk to me and my family. Listen, my pastor doesn't, Ruthann, you can attest to this. My pastor doesn't come over and teach me how to be a husband to my wife. He hasn't taught me how to be a father to my children. He hasn't taught me to be the spiritual leader of my home. That Bible and the Holy Ghost of God, me sitting at that table, has taught me that. I love my pastor. He can teach me a lot. He's got a lot of wisdom. Compassionate Jesus. 41 times it's in your Bible. 21 times it's in the Old Testament. 20 times it's in the New Testament. The word compassion is first used in Exodus 2:6 when God in his mercy, when God in his compassion puts compassion on Pharaoh's daughter's heart for Moses sitting in the river, who will later on deliver Israel. How about that?
Right.
That's a compassionate God right there. Then it goes on, and the last time it's used is used in Jude chapter 1, verses 20 and 25. And what is that? It's talking about the compassion that we have now because we're saved. Now we want to go out and tell others about that salvation. Right. God's a compassionate God. Yeah. He's got compassion on you and your family, because you know how I know that? You're sitting here today.
Right.
Right.
Your breath, and listen, God holds your breath in his hands, and you're sitting in a church listening to a Bible being preached. If that's not compassion, then I don't know what is.
Right.
The problem is you don't look at it that way. You don't see it the way God sees it. You don't want to hear it that way. You're looking for a lovey-dovey feeling. Mm-hmm. The last time I checked, salvation was not a lovey-dovey feeling. His name was Jesus.
I didn't have a lovey-dovey feeling when I got saved. At the time of my salvation, I didn't have that. Afterwards, I did. When I got down to get saved, I was tore up from the floor up. It was not a good feeling. God just revealed me to me, and I didn't like it, and I didn't want it. But afterwards, man, did I fall in love. Man, did I love what just happened to me. Man, did I understand for the first time in my life, what is this that just happened to me? Compassionate Jesus. What a merciful God. You know, when sin and the devil and this world, they're done with you, it'll spit you out and leave you helpless. You know, 40 years I was out there, brother. 40 years. And then finally, I said, let me give this Jesus a try. What a shame. What if I would have got saved 20 years ago? I mean, man, I waited 40 years to finally come to Jesus Christ. 40 years I was out there. 40 years at any moment. I had people always trying to kill me. People shooting at me, stabbing at me. I'm in prison, man, getting run down home. I'm in a gang. I mean, I had all this stuff. And here I stand today, saved and born again because Jesus Christ hung on a cross. He had compassion for me. I'm out there writing songs about killing his mother, writing songs about cursing him. I mean, out there living a life, showing it, covered in tattoos. It's the total opposite of anything that God would ever think about. You know, a lot of people like putting religious tattoos on them. I never did. I couldn't care less about anything that had anything to do with religion. But when all was said and done, when the world finally said there is no more hope for Dale Moore, Jesus Christ was able to step in. When that psychiatrist finally said, Mr. Morey, there's no more hope for you. I don't know what else to do for you. Jesus Christ said, it's my turn. It's my turn to work this. It's my turn to take over now. All those years. Worthless. Hopeless. No hope. Nobody wanted to be around me. Nobody wanted to be my friend. They didn't want me and my wife around. Matter of fact, they would tell our pastor, watch out for them. They're just coming to your church and trying to, you know, steal stuff from you and trying to connive you into giving them something. That's what they thought of us.
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ said, but I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ has compassion on such people and offers so much more than you ever could imagine.
Most have no clue. If I said, hey, listen, I have $1 million over here. And all you have to do is walk over here and get it. There's not a person in this room who wouldn't come and get that. Well, Jesus Christ has offered eternal life, peace and joy. He says, I'll give you not only life here, but I'll give you abundant life. Why aren't you going after it?
Right.
Because it's not appeasing to the flesh. You really don't want that salvation. You mean to tell me you're going to try to convince me that you really want to be saved or that you really want to live as a Christian when that offer is right there, but yet you won't even take that? Again, there's $1 million here. Who wants it? Come get it. I get run over. Get run over.
Thank God for a compassionate Jesus. Psalm chapter 86. Turn with me there. I like to give a lot of verses out. So, I mean, if you can turn there, turn. If you can't, listen. God can use it either way. I personally like to turn it when I can. But look at Psalm 86. Verse 25, and we're going to just learn a few things about God. And just remember, He's holy, and He's righteous, and He's given the laws, and He's everything that you read about in the Old Testament. He's the judge. What, Psalm 86? Why are you looking like that?
It didn't have a 25 verse.
Hang on. Boy, I hate when I do that.
I've done that. Been there and done that.
Right here. 68. No, 68. Boy, man, goodness. I have it written down here, but So look, I have a verse written down. You might know where it's at when I read it. But here's what it says. It says, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth.
It's 15.
What is it?
15. 86.
86:15, I got 25 written down. Okay? Look at that. What is he? He's a God who's full of compassion. He's gracious and long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. And I'm just here to tell you this. That long-suffering, man, meant a lot to me when I was a lost person because everybody wrote me off. But God didn't write me off. There's not a person in this room today who will look around the room and they'll see a person and go, why didn't God write them off? Thank God, God don't think like we do.
Hallelujah.
Thank God his compassion and his long suffering goes on as long as he says it's going to go on. Because there's people I see today, I go, man, why ain't God doing nothing with that? Because I'm not God.
Right.
He knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Full of compassion. That means it's never going to run out. That means there's plenty to go around. It's never going to go away. My goodness, if you know that your mom or your dad or somebody you love is full of compassion for you, you're right on them. But here we just learn that God is full of compassion, and you're not there. Christian, whatever you're struggling with, he's full of compassion on. He says, cast all your care upon him. Why? Because he careth for you. I just want you to know, C-A-R-E-T-H. There's a T-H on the end of that word care. And what that means in your King James Bibles, it continues to happen. It's not just a one-time thing. He cares for you one time and it's over with. No, careth. That means it's a continual process, something that continues to happen. He doesn't just care for people one time and it's one and done.
That's right.
Cast all your care upon him. You know what that cast means? When you cast something, it's away from you. You cast that pole in the water, where's that line going? It's going out. That's what casting is. Get it out. Cast it to him. Give it to him. Why? Because he cares for you.
Right.
He's got compassion. Right. He does care about what's going on in your life. He's worried about where you're at.
Right.
He knows what's going on. Give it to him. Lay it out to him.
God.
Look at this. You all know this verse most likely. John 11:35 says Jesus wept. Here's the God of glory. Walking on earth. Getting ready. He knows what he's getting ready to face. The cross wasn't the worst part. Being spit on and nailed to that cross, that wasn't the worst part for him. He knew that God was going to have to turn his face from him. Because he could not look upon sin. And yet Jesus wept for a human being. Is that what it says? Jesus wept. Not only did Jesus weep over his friends, but also for sinners. If you read in Luke 8:8, it says, and some fell on good ground, talking about the seed, and it sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried. He that hath ears, let him hear. You see, when Jesus was speaking, I see you many times, my friend, up here, and you're speaking, and tears are rolling down your face. You mean to tell me that's not what Jesus is doing? He's speaking, he's got tears running down his face because he's trying to get people to see. He's trying to get them to understand, but yet they will not. They keep refusing it. No matter what he does, no matter what he says, they don't want it. And he's trying to have compassion. And he's trying to show people what he has for them, that love that's in it, that love that drove them to the cross. There ain't a person in this room that would have done that for me.
Right.
There ain't a single person in this world that would do that for any one of us. He cried, he that hath ears, let him hear. He has compassion on those who are hurting, those who are struggling, those who are depressed. He has had compassion on them. Luke 22:42 says, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not mine will, but thine be done. He chose to do the Father's will. Why? John Mark, he's seen your face on that cross. Do you realize that? In eternity, when he was on that cross, he looked and saw every one of our faces. He's seen what was going to, he became what I was going to become. He took that and I said, they said, you can come down off that cross. You saved others, save yourself. He said, I can call 10,000 angels right now. You know what he said? No. I can't come. Why can't you come off that cross, Jesus? Why? Dale Morey's coming to me. One day that Dale Morey's going to come to me and I'm going to save him. One day that Dale Morey's going to come and I'm going to save that old sucker.
That's
compassion. That's somebody who loves somebody. Love the unlovable.
Right.
You ever been in something where people just can't stand what you did? Jesus still loves you. He still loves you. His love doesn't stop like that. You see, what we do is we take our human experience of love and we try to place that on Jesus. We're talking about the love of God. We're not talking about the love that a human has one for another. We're talking about the love that God has. We can't comprehend it because of what our past, because of what people have done to us in our past. We take that and we attribute that to Jesus Christ. Now say, well, no, that's how he loves me. No, that's not how he loves you. His love is not a human love. It's the love of God. How wonderful that love is when you realize it. How wonderful it is when you realize the compassion that he's had. But you know what keeps you from knowing that love? Keep looking at it through human eyes. You see, you got to stop looking at it with our human experience, and we got to start putting on the 2020 vision. We got to start looking at it through God's eyes and how he sees it and how his love is. And we got to read about it and understand this is what he did for me. He said that he loved us even before our parts were formed. Imagine that. He already knew. But he already knew that everything that I was going to do in my entire life, every bit of everything that I ever cursed, anything that I ever did, anything that I ever did against him, he already knew that. It was already written, and yet he had compassion on me. The day, October 10th, 2011, 90 and a half East Main Street, Cuban, New York. That day that I kneeled on that floor in front of my couch, he knew that day was coming. Right? I didn't know it was coming. I had no clue for that. Everything that I've been through, from being molested as a child, being beat by my mother's boyfriends, and then burning our fingertips and making us kneel on raw rice in the corner. And I mean, that just building hatred inside of me. Sure. I mean, a pure hatred out there. And then going out there and becoming an addict. Going out there and hurting other people because it gave me a sense of relief when I got to hurt others. Because that's what happened to me. They tried to cover it up with drugs and alcohol and try to run with gangs and all this stuff, and all it did was leave me for dead. But Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Can you believe it? But Jesus, man. Are you kidding me? You mean to tell me you don't want that? You mean to tell me that means nothing to you? Well, it means something to me. Because the world had wrote me off. And for 40 years, they tried to rope me off.
Right.
But not Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank the Lord for it. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise.
I mean, no disrespect, but you know what? You'll give a human over you will God. You don't believe that God is not slack concerning his promise. You know, I've heard it before. I've heard you say, God just don't want to save me. That's it. He just doesn't want to save me. Oh, so this is a lie then. So that Bible that you're holding there is just a lie. It's just something that you read. It's just words on paper. It means absolutely nothing to you, right? Is that what you're telling me? Because it says that it's not slack concerning his promise. Excuse me, I got to find. It's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. All come to repentance. He's not slack concerning that promise. But yet there's people in this room who don't believe that God wants them saved. There's a Christian sitting in this room who believes that God doesn't want them to repent for what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Oh, he does. Oh, he does. Matthew 18:27 says, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. And he loosed him and he forgave his debt. Here Jesus is showing us in the parable that there's a debt that you can't pay. There's a debt that you can't pay. There's a debt that you owe that you can't pay. But he's willing to be that good master. And he's already willing to take that. His compassion has already said, loose him. Loose her. But you reject it. He knows you can't pay that debt. But you know, you don't know that you can't pay that debt. You still got that debt hanging over your head. Right.
Matthew 9:36 says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He had compassion to lead us through this life because he knew that no one else would love us or be concerned for us as he would. He's that shepherd that leads us. Hey, he puts a shepherd in your life.
He puts the man of God in your life to teach you, to love you, and to pray for you. But you know what most don't want? They don't want that leading. Because that pride.
Oh, that cussing pride.
That pride will tell you, I can do better. Hey, you know what Israel told God? We don't want you. We want a king. Is that what they said? We don't want God. We want a king. And so here's what God does. He puts a man of God in your life. Guess what? Now you're telling God, I don't want that man of God. I don't want another one. I don't want to listen to what he has to say. I want to hear his instruction. Sheep without a shepherd.
Sheep that are without shepherds, they get killed. They get injured. Then when it gets too much for them, they try to run back to that shepherd.
Yeah.
And then when they try to run back to that shepherd, he says, well, now we got to fix you up. This is going to be very painful when we fix you up. Well, I don't want to be painful. What's going to be painful?
All right. My God, help us.
Sure. Hebrews 4, 12 through 16. Let's read that. Everybody warm? It's warm here, man. Everybody's eyes are rolling back in their head trying to stay awake. Oh, man. It's hot in here, man. Yeah, it's all good, though. Hebrews 4, Hebrews 4, starting in verse 12. Most of you know this verse, but I love it.
Amen.
For the word of God is, not maybe, not could be. You see, those little words mean a lot in the King James Bible. I want you to know that. That's why they shouldn't be changed. But you know what? The devil's subtle. He likes to change little things and move them around and such. Okay? And how important are words? You know, a lot of the other versions will say this, and it's going to go off track here for a minute. Then John 8:32, they'll say, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Baloney.
That's right.
I don't want to be set free. That's what the world did to me my entire life. Went out to jail, prison, boys' homes, mental hospitals, rehab. Continuously, they set me free to continue to do the same things that I always did.
Yeah.
When something can be set, that means it's already in existence. I can take these glasses, I can set them anywhere. Why? Because they're already in existence. But to be made.
Jesus Christ says in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That means that thing did not exist until the very moment Jesus Christ gave that to me. That means I never had freedom in my entire life until Jesus Christ gave it to me on October 10th of 2011. He didn't set me free anymore. He made me free. And it changed my whole life.
Man.
Are you tired of getting set free? Well, that's what those other Bibles want you to believe.
Right.
I believe in the King James Bible. I believe that every word is exactly where it needs to be.
Right.
I don't need anything else beside it. I'm not the smartest person on this planet. I just want you to know that. I grew up in learning disability classes my entire life. I've never, ever seen a regular classroom in my entire life. When I went to college, before I went to the Bible college and such, when I went to college, they had to give me special testings and all that kind of stuff. I didn't ever fit in there. I just want you to know that. When I tell you one thing that didn't stop me is learning that King James Bible.
Man.
You know why? It was in my heart.
It became my heart. It became something that I wanted. It became something that I fell in love with. It became something that attracted me. Could you imagine if it did that to you?
Yeah. Man.
Could you imagine if it really meant that much to you?
Man. Good God.
I've learned things sitting underneath preaching. I have. There's no doubt in my mind. I've learned things listening to messages.
Right.
But I've learned the most with me and the Holy Ghost sitting at home. I guarantee you that.
That's right.
What do you want? It's here. It says quick. It is quick. That means alive.
Man.
You pinch that little quick on your finger, it hurts. Why? Because it's alive.
Right.
For if the word of God is quick, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, And it is this discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's trying to tell you exactly what's going on. The problem is you don't want to hear it. Listen, put the take the worldly hearing aids out. Because you'll hear the world very quickly in the things they have to say.
Amen.
Think about what you're listening to. Think about what you're watching. Think about who you're listening to. And I guarantee you this, most of you, if your mom's here, she says something to you, and jump up and listen. You're doing it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But yet God tells you something, you won't do anything.
Right.
I see a problem with that. I see a problem that you'll listen to a human being, but you will not listen to what God is telling you. Yeah, I want to be saved. Verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him to whom they have to do. Verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we, like as we are, yet without sin. Oh, what a wonderful thing to know that Jesus Christ understands Dale Morey and what he went through. Could you imagine if you got to believe that? Christian, could you imagine if you really did believe that? Lost person, could you imagine if you really did believe that? That Jesus Christ does understand what you went through? At all points, it says, not some, but all points. Wouldn't your life be a little different than what it is? You see, belief in your Bible demands an action.
Right.
You will live what you believe.
Right.
And you think you're hiding something, it exposes you more and more. I just sit back and I watch. And right. They really think they're hiding this, huh? Listen, you know why? Because you live what you believe.
Sure.
You stay around somebody long enough, 5 minutes normally, and you can tell exactly what they believe. You look with your eyes and you can tell exactly what they believe.
Right.
My hope is, like Romans 8:29, I hope that people are starting to see Jesus Christ being formed in me. I don't want you to see me. I have nothing to offer you. Only thing I can offer you is how to do things worse. But I'm telling you, there's one who has compassion, who wants to teach you how to do things right. That's one of the things that got me attracted to going back to church. As I seen somebody that had Jesus.
Amen.
I watched a person that had Jesus Christ. He wasn't just some religious worker that I watched in and out of jail, in and out of prisons. There's a lot of religious workers out there, and they mean well. But man, I tell you what I didn't see is Jesus Christ in them.
Yep.
Thank God I finally recognized Jesus Christ in somebody. I said, I want what that person has.
Right.
I'm going to close with this. How many of us have people knocking down our door getting what we want? What are they really seeing? If we really believe as Christians that Jesus Christ has had that much compassion on us, why aren't we out there showing others like we should?
Amen.
Yeah, I know they don't listen. But how long did it take Jesus Christ to get our attention when we didn't listen? You see, I know it says that in order for a man to be a bishop, patience. You look around, brother, patience is lost in men of God today. There's no patience. Let me just put them in the microwave, get them to pray this prayer, run down the Romans road, and bing.
Right.
I used to despise the men who would come in there and tell me this. Would you like to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? I about likely balled my fist up and say, no, I would not, because I don't trust anything. At any moment, at any time, anything that I've ever said, any person or any situation that said, hey, Dale Lord, you can trust me, just stomp that out of me. And now you want me to trust this who? Who am I trusting? The Bible makes it very clear, and it starts back in Psalm 78, verse 22. It says, and they believed not in God, therefore they trusted not in his salvation. What was that first word? They believed not in God, and therefore trusted not in his salvation. And over and over and over again in your Bible, 117 times in the New Testament, it says, believe,
Believe for salvation. Believe. Why?
Because God has to work with a person to get them to believe unto salvation. And then he works that work of trust. I'm in the process of trusting God now. Why? Because I already believe it. Now I'm in the process of trusting the Lord. And when I go into the jails and the prisons, I don't go in there. Hey, would you like to trust Jesus as your Savior?
Listen, it makes a twofold child of hell. You know why? I watch them people write down the numbers of how many people are getting saved.
Sure.
How many people are getting saved? How many people are getting saved? And I work with those saved men and I go, my goodness. They've been inoculated against the gospel of Jesus Christ now. Now they will no longer hear. Now it's going to take a whole lot longer. Instead of just going in there and slowly teaching them and slowly working that, hey, there is a Bible that you can believe. And guess what? You can believe in the one who wrote that Bible.
That's right.
That'll get them. That's what got me.
Hook, line, and sinker.
Let me just say this. Thank God that we have a God who's compassionate.
Right.
Thank God we have a God who's long-suffering and is willing to wait for those who want to seek the love of the truth. But the moment you stop seeking the love of the truth, forget it. It's over. Things are going to go downhill very quickly. Would you not want to come to that compassionate one, the one who died for you, gave his life for you? He's waiting. Your choice. I'm done, preacher.
Is a book.